This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The Triple Threat, Sports Radio 610. Sean Pendergast, Ted Johnson with you. Rich out, back tomorrow. And we said yesterday on the show that game, if they win game two, the Rockets, that's great. They're tied 1-1. They'll have taken a game in the series, and at least it shows there's some fight in this team, which I think a lot of people, I don't know if people were doubting the fight in this team as much as they were doubting the ability of this team with their style of play to compete with what could potentially be one of the all-time great teams over a period of a handful of years with the Golden State Warriors. We knew they were going to fight. They fought. They were focused. But if it was just a win where Golden State missed a bunch of shots, the Rockets kind of scrape out a close win, how is the confidence level going to be for the Rockets in terms of winning this series? They needed a moment where the Russian got cut, is what we said yesterday, where Ivan Drago, not only is he getting beat, but he has to taste his own blood a little bit. The Warriors are obviously Drago in this analogy. And last night as that game unfolded, Ted Johnson, the Rockets fell behind 16-13. They went on a little run late in the first quarter, and they never trailed after that. They continued to build on their lead throughout the game. The third quarter was supposed to be the quarter where Golden State was going to kind of recalibrate that game, down 14 at the half. Instead, at the end of the third quarter, the Rockets are up 16. They go on to take a lead of almost 30 points in the fourth quarter. What a night at Toyota Center last
That was incredible,
night.
Sean. It was an incredible game to watch. And you said style points were going to matter in this game, not only just for the collective confidence of the fan base, but maybe for themselves too, just to know that they can do it. And if they when they turn on the afterburners and really get after them on defense, then, you know, and you, just so they knew the way they played, you just kind of knew they were committed. They were the desperate team. And then the way the game finished, you have to feel like this gives them confidence going down in the rest of the series. I mean, the defensive intensity was night and day from game one. The ISO game, the amount of passes, those were still the same from game one, but they got into their offense so much quicker. They attacked the rim. You had guys cutting. You had role players stepping up. Everybody was playing defense. There wasn't miscommunication on defense. You didn't see guys wide open. Steph Curry had issues, not only from defensive standpoint, but just from an offensive standpoint. They've really held him in check. And it was an awesome thing. It was awesome to watch. So their collective confidence has got to be at the absolute highest level going to Oracle. They haven't lost a playoff game at Oracle since this game seven of 2016. That was a long time ago. So they're up against it when they go back there. But what a way to win. Style points mattered. They put their foot on their throat like we asked them to do. They made the Russian bleed like we asked them to do. And it was a beautiful thing to watch. It really was.
And after the game, Ted, these guys were all asked continually about the offense. And the offense did look different last night. There was more, whether they wanted to acknowledge it or not, I felt like there was some obstinance in this team from the coach on down. Maybe other than Eric Gordon, who said, yeah, we need to move the ball a little more, not so much ISO. But for the guys who ran the ISO, Chris Paul, James Harden, Mike D'Antoni, you mentioned it yesterday. D'Antoni said, we're not going to change who we've been all year. And I felt like they were pretty true to who they'd been all year, except they were getting better shots off the ISO. And guys were cutting and moving. Guys like Trevor Ariza, I can't say enough. I was very critical of Trevor Ariza on Tuesday after the game. He was getting into the teeth of the defense the way we were asking James Harden to do. He was
off the dribble,
getting into the lane and finding open guys, even in the half court, and finding open guys. And they just did a much better job, I thought, of getting guys involved and moving the basketball. But to a man, anytime you asked any of them about defense or about offense, it all circled back to defense, and it started with Eric Gordon last night in the press conference.
Everything was fueled off our defense, and we had to help a man at the right time. And, you know, it just wasn't me that got going. You know, you saw Trev really got going, and PJ, Trev and PJ, and they just really fueled us, and it just made it easier for everybody.
The big myth with this team, and I don't know how perpetuated the myth has been, but the big myth with this team is that this team's only going to go as far as James Harden and Chris Paul are going to take them. That's not true. That's not that it's going to go as far as their role players take them. We talked about that Utah series. The two games in Utah, games three and four in Utah, James Harden and Chris Paul shot like 5 for 28 from three-point land in those two games. The Rockets won both of those games handily by double digits. In the game last night, James Harden offensively was not good last night. He was 3 of 15. He took 15 three-pointers. They were collectively, Chris Paul and James Harden, 4 of 20 from three. This team, the barometer for this team is their secondary players, is their role players. When their role players are knocking down shots, when P.J. Tucker's going 5 of 6 from three, when Trevor Ariza's doing the things he did, he was only 1 of 3 from three, but he was doing things last night were helping facilitate that offense. And Eric Gordon, who we just heard from, that was an Eric Gordon kind of game. He was plus 29 last night.
Yeah, between Eric Gordon, Trevor Ariza, and P.J. Tucker, 68 points between those three. So the role players obviously stepped up. But it just started with defense. I mean, they were fighting, they were scratching, they were clawing, they were every loose ball they were going after. And you can just see there's the intensity just ratcheted up a big time in that game last night. And it did lead to transition points, a lot more transition points than they had. And one of the things that I really was looking for in this game, Sean, was more Chris Paul. More Chris Paul handling the ball. He had more ISO plays than he did in game one. Yep. And James Harden had 10 less ISO plays than in game one. So the ISO plays, there were still a lot of ISO plays, but it wasn't as much James Harden doing it. It was more Chris Paul doing it, which I think is a better kind of formula to win. Have Chris Paul be more of a point guy and get into that offense and get guys cutting and get him to, you know, get to the rim to be able to dish out or to finish at the rim. I mean, everybody was attacking the rim. Eric Gordon was attacking the rim. Trevor Ariza was attacking the rim. Chris Paul was attacking the rim. James Harden was attacking the rim, and it was breaking down their defense, and it just, you had them discombobulated on defense. It was awesome. I mean, it was kind of a flip as far
as bizarro
Golden
game
State,
one.
Golden State played like the Rockets did in game one, and the Rockets played like Golden State did in game one. It was a total flip-flop. Kevin Durant got his. Okay, James Harden got his in game one. But the other role players, Klay Thompson, Steph Curry, Draymond Green, they weren't as effective on offense in game two like they were in game one.
I think it's, you know, it's only two games in, and this is going to be a long series, I think. I think the Rockets are going to win a game in Oakland. I think they're going to get it back to where it's a 2 out of 3 series, and they get two of the home games. It's a 2 out of 3 series where the games are going back and forth, which I think if you had told the Rockets at the beginning of the year, this is what you're going to get, they'd have signed at the bottom of that piece of paper in a second. You're going to get a 2 out of 3 series with the Golden State Warriors. Now, they need to win a game in Oakland to get this to be truth. I understand that. But you're going to get a 2 out of 3 series with the Warriors where you have a home court advantage. If they win a game in Oakland, they're guaranteed of that. They're going to get a 2 out of 3 with games 5 and 7, or with, in this case, with games 1 and 3 in Houston. I think they would have signed up for that. I think it's funny. You talk about the confidence level of this team, or maybe of the city.
Yeah.
Not so much of the team, but of the city and the people following the team. And maybe even guys like us who have a microphone. And you look at that and you go, whew, wow, game one. That sure looked a lot like how some of these games have looked in previous playoff series with the Warriors, a team that has dominated the Rockets in the postseason the two times that they've met. P.J. Tucker was asked about this in the postgame show on TNT last night. By the way, worth mentioning, we're going to have Shaquille O'Neal on the air with us here in the 4 o'clock hour today. Here was P.J. Tucker when asked about what the collective psyche was of the Rockets heading into this game.
Where was this team mentally after what happened in game one?
We were fine. I mean, we lost. We played like trash. We were terrible. We were terrible game one. We didn't talk. Klay got like 15 threes up. We didn't do anything we talked about.
How do you explain that in game one of a series for the Western Conference Championship in your gym?
I mean, I couldn't explain it to you. Coach couldn't explain it. Nobody could. I mean, it was terrible. So I think nobody had to say anything. We knew we had to come out and do it. It wasn't nothing to be said. James called everybody, but nobody had to talk to nobody.
James called everybody. That's fun. They were talking about that in the
texting,
postgame.
Texting late at night.
They were all calling each other and texting and all talking about the game.
Man.
Yeah, it's good chemistry.
I wonder if that's a Chris Paul thing, because Chris Paul's big on that. I mean, you know, just kind of cultivating relationships with his teammates off the court. Yeah.
Yep.
I mean, that's the one thing. It is kind of mind-boggling. Is, wait a minute. I mean, the most anticipated Western Conference, you know, series in a long time, and you don't show up for game one. And that was what was disheartening. It's just the effort wasn't there. The communication wasn't there. They weren't mentally sharp in game one. All right. They went out and did something in game two that I think all of a sudden has got people back kind of going, okay, they have the ability to play with this team. They can go toe-to-toe with Golden State.
Yeah, I think almost to the point, Ted, and like I was saying before, it's only two games, and it's only one game where the Rockets have put together an effort like this against Golden State. But is it at the point now where if you still have the opinion that Golden State, you know, Golden State's still going to win this thing in five. That was just a blip on the radar. Mm-hmm. Could it be? Because you watched Steph last night. That's not Steph Curry right now.
No, not at all.
Could, if you hold that opinion, then you're basically looking at this Warriors team as if they're the same exact team as last season. And I think we know now, watching Steph play these first two games, they're not.
Not against the Rockets. I mean, Steph Curry had a good series against
New Orleans.
last series. So this was the most complete game they have played in a long time last night. That's why I think there was a lot of, you know, kind of nervousness, at least from my end, is I haven't seen them play a complete game in a long time. Last night was a complete game.
Yep, it was a complete game. All right, let's stick with this for a second here. Because there are some things that maybe if you're a Rocket fan, there are causes for concern right now, both medical and maybe functional with this team as they head out to Oakland. Let's talk about a couple of those coming up next. Again, Shaquille O'Neal with us in the 4 o'clock hour. You're listening to the Triple Threat Sports Radio 610. So we're hoops heavy today, man. Game two was fun last night. That was fun. The Russian was cut last night.
He was, man.
Yep.
He was. You know what I loved seeing? One of the things I was like, well, you know where he's cut? He's cut when I see their defense scrambling. Their defense was as discombobulated and as disjointed as the Rockets were in game one.
It was so awesome to see Trevor Ariza have that one play where he just walked right down the lane and the Warriors are all staring at each other.
Yeah, Steph Curry left them and went to cover James Harden.
That's how we felt in game one.
That's right. That's exactly right.
So, you said that in the open.
That's right.
Hey, get the first chance to buy 2018 roast tickets. Sign up for our email club because Monday we are sending out a special announcement on the roast along with a code to get tickets first. Go to the newsportsradio610.com and sign up for our weekly emails. This liner doesn't mention it. So when I saw this yesterday, I'm like, I thought we had said on the air who the roastee is in this thing. John McClain mentioned it on the air with us one day when he was with us. So I think I'm going to go ahead and say it again. Robert Brazil is the roastee this year.
Yep.
Dr. Doom.
The man.
Before he goes into the Hall of Fame, he is going to be under the microscope of the 610 roast in late June. So it's going to be a lot of fun.
A lot of his cronies, old teammates will be there.
If you're a fan of the Love You Blue Oilers, like this is going to be Disney World for you if you want to go to the roast. So go to the newsportsradio610.com, sign up for our weekly emails, and you can get a chance at some roast tickets. First chance to buy them.
And just one more thing about Rob Brazil. He's one of the nicest guys, engaging people, happy-go-lucky kind of guys you'll ever meet. He's a ginormous human being, and he's just got a lot of just great qualities about him. I love that he's going to be being the one getting roasted. I love he's going in the Hall of Fame. So long overdue, man. But I love it that he's going to be here being roasted next month.
Yeah, you can make a case, if you've ever met him, and then you go watch his highlights on YouTube, you can make a case that there's nobody who has a bigger separation between their personality on the field and off the field than Robert Brazil.
That's so true.
He was a vicious, violent, not dirty, just a beast. He was a beast. He was Lawrence Taylor before Lawrence Taylor. That's, and you know
and
who
Lawrence
said that?
Taylor said that.
Yes.
That's exactly
Lawrence
right.
Lawrence Taylor put the stamp of approval on that. Chris Paul was Chris Paul before Chris Paul. I don't know. I'm just trying to segue into all this Chris Paul audio that we have. Here's Chris Paul last night about the Rockets defense following the game.
Surprisingly, we didn't change anything. You know, we guarded the same way. I mean, obviously, we played harder, but scheme-wise, we didn't change anything. We just did everything a little harder, as we talked about yesterday, and we talked about game one. Got out to the shooters. Our switches were a lot cleaner. I think game one, Clay got off, 15 threes? He only got off four tonight.
This is one of those things that I know frustrates you, and I know it frustrates a lot of fans. When they hear players in the NBA just kind of cavalierly saying, we had more energy tonight. The effort was better tonight. For me, it's something that's always just baked into basketball that there's going to be, especially in seven-game series, there's going to be some nights where guys are at peak energy, some guys where the energy level is a little lower. I don't think it's something where it's an affront to basketball that these guys do this, Ted. I think it's something where, and I feel strongly about this, I feel like there's a symbiotic relationship between offense and defense. And I feel like watching the ball go in the basket a bunch of times affects your energy level at the other end of the floor. I just think it does. I think if you're playing well at one end, it naturally gives you that boost at the other end. Otherwise, teams would be playing at peak level every night, and we just know that's not the case.
Yeah,
in almost every sport.
Yeah, you're right. It is still shocking to me that they were a little bit lethargic and not communicating and just not maybe playing as hard as they needed to in game one. But I, you know, that's just kind of how it is for me. It's just sometimes it's hard to explain that to me and I understand, but. And I said game one was a must win, just to kind of get them off on the right foot. Well, obviously, Ted, it's not, you know, look, after what they did last night, in the way in which they did it, the way they put their foot on their throat in just kind of demoralizing fashion, it makes game one way easier to kind of absorb and to process by the way they won last night.
That was my point I was making yesterday before the game, because I was with you. Like I think a lot of people were. They got to win game one. They got to win game one in this series. And then they lose game one. And then they win last night. And you go, okay, it's 1-1. But I think the only way game one turns into something, we were all wrong about game one being a must win, is if you feel like they can win a game in Oakland. And I feel like if they won a game that was just sort of a scrappy, sloppy, Warriors missed a bunch of open threes and the Rockets squeak one out kind of win, you would have been like, they needed to win. They needed to protect home court. I don't necessarily feel that way now, in part because of the way they won the game last night, but also in part because this is not the Steph Curry that we've seen the last few postseasons. Mm-hmm. You know, actually, we did see it. The year they lost in the finals to LeBron James, he was not 100% physically. He's off right now. And the Rockets are attacking him like crazy when they're on offense. And the shots that he normally makes, those circus shots that he makes, yeah, where it's just quick release, snap release from three, those aren't going in. Those are helping the Rockets, because not only is he missing those, you're getting long rebounds. They're getting out in transition. They got out in transition a lot more last night. They had 17 fast break points last night. They had three, or no, not 17. They had 10 at the half last night. Yeah. And they had three in the entire game in game one. All the statistics that you and I were going through the last couple of days saying, man, this is bad, this is bad, this is bad, they turned it on its head last night.
Yeah, you know, it's funny, Sean, because when Steph Curry was hurt, not that long ago, a couple months ago, and you had KD a couple months ago saying, well, we miss Steph. I mean, he's kind of the straw that stirs the drink a little bit. And, you know, you're starting to see, like, okay, KD got all his.
They lost by 20.
But they lost by 20. So, you know, you're kind of wondering, like, man, if you kind of – maybe Steph Curry is the kind of – you cut the head of this snake, and then maybe, you know, it's kind of like everything else will fall in line for you. And they have him frustrated. They are certainly attacking him on from a defensive – or offensive standpoint as far as whenever he's guarding the main ball handler. They're attacking. And I will beg to differ with Chris Paul a little bit. You can say it was the same thing. You just played harder. But there was so much more movement. Guys weren't just stagnant. There was guys cutting to the rim, and they made it a point to pick up the pace. I mean, they were getting out as fast as they could. I mean, after a made basket, boom, put the ball in bounds, get down the court, see if you can break them down early in the clock. And so that was a totally different strategy than it was in game one. Even though they want to say it was the same stuff they were doing, just harder, it looked like a different deal altogether.
I'm glad you brought up Durant, because I think we saw last night that, look, this is a great team, okay? And they have four All-Stars on this team. And if you're picking your poison, if you're going, okay, one of these guys has to beat us, quite honestly, if Durant wants to just keep stroking those elbow jumpers from about 12 feet away, then let him do that. Every three-pointer Draymond Green takes is a win in this series.
It is.
Every three-pointer Andre Iguodala takes is a win in this series. Steph Curry is not playing well right now. And as great as Klay Thompson is as a shooter, he can be inconsistent sometimes. And we saw that last night. Klay will throw up a 3-for-12, with not alarming regularity, but I think more regular than for the reputation we give him for the sniper that he is, you know, and he is a sniper. Like, he's one of those guys, when he gets hot, it's curtains with Klay Thompson. But you can annoy Klay. You can get him off his spot a little bit. You can nudge him around. He's not a guy who creates offensively. He is the ultimate endpoint on an offense that's built around a lot of movement. And just one quick add on Durant. I tweeted this during game one, and I was being somewhat tongue-in-cheek, but somewhat serious because they couldn't stop him. I said, just leave Capella on Durant. He's the only guy with the length on that perimeter to do anything. They actually, Capella wound up on Durant a couple times in the game last night.
How'd it look?
It looked okay. I wouldn't want to do it all game, obviously.
No, you get a little nervous when he picks them up kind of almost at the half court. I'm more nervous when he goes way out there to defend. You know, I feel like he should slough off a little bit.
I do too, but he's the only one on this team that has the length to deal with Durant.
Right.
We've talked about how his athleticism is something that should be a difference in this series. The way you make it a difference in this series is if Durant is on one of those runs where he's gone jumper, jumper, jumper on you, is it maybe you find a way that Clay's the guy. You know, Klay becomes your stopper in that situation. You don't want to do it a lot because, one, Klay will get it, Clint. Clint becomes your stopper for you. Clint can get into foul trouble if you do that.
Mm-hmm.
So if you do it as kind of a one-off here and there, I think it's a good way to maybe kind of throw some water on the Durant fire a little bit if he's in one of those streaks. But the Rockets, God, they were just so much better defensively last night.
Night and day. And Clint Capela was a force in the paint, man. And he really was. I mean, defensively, he was, he was making those guys adjust their shots, and they had a difficult time, big time, whenever they tried to get into the paint, which was huge. And another big thing that I really liked, I liked just how they attacked the rim. They were attacking the rim big time. They beat them in points in the paint, which was nice. And that's what you need to do. If you're going to go with that smaller lineup, you need to attack the rim. And everybody seemed more focused on attacking than anything. And you talk about Durant. Hey, you're right. It's kind of one of those deals where it's like, if you want to go ahead and shoot all your two-pointers, okay. It's those three-pointers, the three-point barrage State is known for that can get you in trouble. Durant, you want to post up. Because Durant was doing a ton of ISO. Okay, go ahead and do it. You know what? But if we are hitting our threes, it's not going to matter. And one thing I did like last night too, Sean, is Trevor Ariza didn't back down from Kevin Durant. He's almost an impossible cover. We all know that. His length is ridiculous. But Trevor Ariza, he actually met force with force last night. He didn't back down, and he stuck to his guns. And I love seeing that from Trevor Ariza. It was a completely different mindset from game one for game two for Trevor Ariza.
Ariza, it's like he turned back the clock. Ariza was really good last night. And I even tweeted during the game, like, the way Ariza is getting into the teeth of this defense at the offensive end and finding the open man. Like, if that's what you're going to get out of Trevor Ariza, I'm not even saying shooting-wise, because he wasn't great shooting the basketball last night. He was 1 of 3 from three. So I say he wasn't great. 1 of 3, whatever, that's fine. He didn't shoot a lot of threes. He's usually, when they're bombing threes, him in the corner and PJ in the other corner, those are fixtures. What Trevor Ariza was doing last night, and I can't believe I'm saying this because nobody's been more critical of his dribbling than I have, is he was putting the ball on the floor and getting to spots on the floor where he could find open guys. He was kind of triggering those passing sequences, or at least continuing them, to where they were ultimately finding the open man. A lot of times it was Eric Gordon, mm-hmm, who was on the business end of the whole thing, but they were doing such a good job of moving the basketball last night. And credit to Mike D'Antoni. And one more I just want to add here real quick, Ted, is that Mike D'Antoni, I'm happy for him. He was under a lot of fire these last two days.
He was, man.
And I said he's going to be the guy who's under the most pressure because he's got to unlock some things offensively. Here's Mike D'Antoni on handling the criticism.
I don't want to be snarky, and I don't want to be old, I got to be old, but I don't want to be cantankerous. It's just that, first of all, you're not going to, you have one of the best offenses probably in all times, at least with Golden State, and they're one of the best all-time teams. We're trying to prove we're up there with them. You're not going to come in and change the way you play, and that's the way we played all year. Sometimes we get bogged down, but usually because we can't get out in transition, can't get that force, and then the ball seems like all we do is keep it. But again, we are who we are, and we had to be who we are. We just did it better, longer. Guys believe it. And we're not going to change anything up. That would be silly on my part to panic. I mean, you don't do that.
I think that's Coach. Look, I know it just looked different. I know the ISO was still there, but they were attacking earlier in the shot clock. You had Trevor Ariza. And I remember Kenny Smith saying this, that maybe the Rockets need to do, or teams that are in the playoffs going up against the Golden State needs to do something that they're uncomfortable with, something that feel normal to Trevor Ariza beating guys off the dribble and taking it to the rim.
That's not comfortable.
And I like that James Harden wasn't as much of a focal point in that game as far as I think Chris Paul, he was taking the ball more, kind of facilitating the offense more. And that's what I liked. I like James Harden maybe being a secondary guy to Chris Paul sometimes, as opposed to James Harden being the primary guy and Chris Paul being the second fiddle.
I definitely feel better about them protecting the basketball when it's Chris Paul bringing the ball up the floor. And that's how I felt last night. It was weird because James Harden is the MVP of the league. He's going to be. Mm-hmm. By the way, they announced the finalists last night. It's James Harden, LeBron James, and Anthony Davis. I think James is going to win it. He's the MVP of the league. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if it's just a certain night thing about game two. We'll see how things go in games three and four. But last night, for sure, I felt better just about this Rockets team's chances of getting buckets and not doing something silly when Chris was on the floor. And then James can be on the floor, but Chris was on the floor. And that brings us to the other thing I teased into this, which we didn't get to. We'll get to it here. is, are you concerned about Chris Paul watching him put ice on his leg and getting his leg massaged and whatnot?
Yeah, it was kind of a nice luxury that they got to pull him kind of early in the game, you know, because they had such a big lead. That makes me a little bit nervous. And they were pointing to his Achilles there at times. And after they kind of showed him maybe limping a little bit, he was still being a force. He was still attacking Steph Curry. And one thing I did love about Chris Paul last night, he was so much more physical on Steph Curry. I mean, if that's what you want to get Steph Curry down and just kind of like shaking his head like this is going to be a long night, be physical with him. And Chris Paul was. I mean, you had him on the ground a couple times, and that was great to see.
Yeah, absolutely.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.